Right, Chevra, we welcome back Omri. Today's Moi Katan Daf Yud, that's for the recording. Daf Yud Amad Aleph, and before we read today's Daf, which will be very easy and very technical, I want to make a recap, put things in context. The subject here is regarding Abba. Most people feel that Chol HaMoed is fun days. Right?
Yes.
They go out, which is true. It's supposed to be days filled with joy. Chol HaMoed essentially are days in which there are many restrictions on the things that we could do. Not as restrictive as Shabbos or Yom Tov, obviously not. But really, it's more restrictive than the way we think. In other words, in principle, we cannot exert ourselves, work on Chol HaMoed because it's Yom Tov. And any type of work that takes away from the joy of Yom Tov is prohibited. However, there are five exceptions. I wrote them out to read them out. And because of these five exceptions, we end up doing many more things than we're not allowed to do on Shabbos or on Yom Tov. The five things in Hebrew is Dover Ha'aved, which we learned about together. That was the first Mishnah we learned. Anything that if we won't do it right now, we will lose the principle. We will see in today's daf that sometimes even not making profit will fall under the category of Dover Ha'aved, and therefore we are allowed to do something not to lose a certain profit whenever there's very little work. Then there's something called Tzorchei HaMoed. Tzorchei HaMoed means anything that we need for Yom Tov. Like, I'm allowed to buy food and cook food and prepare food that I'll need for the last days of Yom Tov, because it's for the need of Yom Tov. The third category is Ein Loi Ma'alecho. Person doesn't have what to eat. So people can actually do what we would call work. The Western world called work. I can go to work to make money, because if I'm not going to do that, I won't have what to eat. It's a very broad statement. Many people can claim if they don't make 50, 60 grand a month, they don't have what to eat. Many people in Israel have to make 10 shekel a day, and then they have what to eat, and they're good. So it's a different, but just a general. Then the fourth thing is called Tzorchei Rabin, any work which is needed for the good of the Rabin. And the fifth is Maisa Hedyit. Maisa Hedyit means that if the work that I'm doing is not considered professional work. Like, for example, so we'll start with the Maisa Hedyit, that the Mishnah says, Hedyit Tzorchei Kedarkei, that the word idiot, just don't know, comes from the word idiot. And a simpleton, it means an unprofessional can sew. Hey, chidami hediyet, what's considered maisa hediyet? Omri devei rabiana, kol she'eni yoytzi, kol she'eni yochal hoytzi, maloi machad bevasachat. Different ways of learning it, it's all technical. One way of learning this would be that when we sew, let's say we're sewing a hem. So how do we sew a hem? Depends what yeshiva you went to. You can look at the hem of the yeshiva boy exactly which yeshiva he went to. So one thing is that when you put the needle in and out, the question is, when people are very professional, they can go in out 6 or 7 times. Then at the end, they give one pull of the string, and everything becomes evenly closed. That's when you're a professional. When you're someone like us, we went to yeshiva, if I would make 2 stitches and I would give it a pull, what would happen? The whole thing would come in. I wouldn't be able to make a couple of stitches and then to pull the string and have still everything not bunched up together. So my hedyit is when it gets bunched up. So you have to do one stitch at a time, and before you go on to the next stitch, you got to make sure that you cover the first stitch, because if you're going to have to give one pull of the string, you're done. And Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina says, Kol she'eni yachal l'chaven imro b'chefes chalukai, that when you're sewing the hem of your garment, you don't know how to make it even. The only reason why we make it even is because we have a zacha of professional pressing machines, that when we press the bottom of the hem, when I sew my hem, I always try to leave it on the fold. But if there wouldn't have been a real dug-in fold, then when we would sew the bottom of our hem, those days they didn't work. We used to wear long jalabas. But the goal would be that everything is more or less on the same level. It's not very high in the front and very low in the back. A ma'isa hedyit, a hediyah, it's a simpleton, of someone who doesn't know how to make it even. So these are the five atayim.
So there are a lot of
them. So
there
are a lot of
it. Just bullet points of 5
things. Dabra Ovid, Sarchi Hamoyed, Ein Loi Malechoil, Sarchi Rabin, Maite Hediyah.
Tzarchi Mes is considered probably Tzarchi HaMoyed. And this, these words are words of the Rishonim, these five.
Yeah, because the Earth Crow,
that's Tzarchi Mes. Okay, now the challenge is, not for us, we're not passing dinim, is that there are each category in itself has different exceptions. Like for Dovah HaAved, we learned in the Mishnah, even though we're a lot of work for something, not to lose, but if there's Tzirchei Yaseida, then you can't anymore. But this concept of Tzirchei Yaseida doesn't go for Tzarchei HaMoed. It means if I have to prepare food for Shabbos, and for me preparing food for Yontif itself will give me a lot of exertion, I'm still allowed to do it, because I need to have a meal for Yontif. In other words, the beauty about these five exceptions is that each one has its own set of rules. And that's going to be the whole daf today. You know, there will not be consistent. Something which, some detail, like Maisa Hedyet, but if it's Maisa Uman, oh, then you can't do it. Uman means professional. Uman is a professional. What about if it's Tzarchei Rabin? Can you do... No, it's not every one runs with the rules of the other.
Doesn't it make more sense for somebody who comes naturally for them to do it, to be able to do it on formal ed, versus somebody who has to work hard to try and...
Correct. What you're saying are words that theoretically correct. Correct. But there's so many exceptions to every category that it doesn't end up always working out that way. It's important to learn this, and not to say that we know the law. To know the law, we got to learn the Shulchan Aruch. But everything is originated from this Daf. Let's keep on going. If you are a professional, then you got to make machlev. Machlev would be that we say many times on Shabbos, you got to make a shinui. And do you have to make a shinui? If your only heted is maisa hedyet, then a professional has to make a shinui. But if you're doing a tzorchei mitzvah, tzorchei adam, then not everyone holds you have to make a shinui. That's right. Abi, you got it? Okay. What does machlev mean? So we're speaking about sewing. So my machlev, Rabbi Yechanan says, matzion, that you skip. Skip is exactly the way I would sew a hem. The difference between when you buy a pair of pants and the way we sew a hem is, for me, the biggest difference is that when you have a machine, all of the stitches, each one is very near the other. So when you put your feet in your pants, your big toe doesn't get stuck in between the stitches and you don't break out the whole hem. Mafsia means you jump between one stitch and the other, and you go like a couple of inches. You understand? That's what a professional has to do. So it should not be professional. Other one says, Rabbi Bar Shmuel says, Shinei Kalbasa. Kalbata. You gotta make it look like the teeth of a dog. What's the teeth of a dog? Here, not a Californian dog. Here, they go to a dentist, if you didn't notice yet. But in the ganze Welt, where you don't take your dog to a dentist, so every tooth is on a different level. So when you make stitches, one stitch is here, one stitch is here. The way we make stitches, you know, zigzagged. That's okay. Then you're allowed to do it. Masagin of Samitis, the Mishnah said two opinions. There was a Rabbi Meir and there was a Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Meir was more lenient, that you can be mesadig, we'll see some of that means, the bed, and for sure you can be mematech. And then you have the Rabbi Yosi that says you can only be mematech. So what is it? It's all about preparing the bed. In those days, just like today, you have two parts to the bed. Today the two parts would be the springboard and the mattress. The mattress goes on top of the springboard. So the springboard then wasn't really a springboard, it was a certain way of tying ropes to the frame of the bed. So they went across, they zigzagged across. So when you put the straw, which was the mattress, it shouldn't fall all the way to the ground. So how much of building the bed are you allowed? Building the bed is work. So work is prohibited, but lesser work is permissible. So this is the detail. So misargin, as I mean, it's my misargin and my mematchin. What's misargin, the words, and what's mematchin? So kiyosid avdimi, when avdimi came, when he came from Eretz Yisrael, Amari said that you should know that there's an argument between Abchia bar Abba and Abba Asi, and both of them are quoting again either a Chizkiya or Rabbi Yechanan. These are all the Chachamim that lived in Israel. So Rav Dimi came to Bavel and he was telling us what the Chachamim in Israel, how they explained the Mishnah. Chadam and Misargin, that the lenient opinion in the Mishnah, which is Rabbi Meir, even though there's no name, who says that you can even be Misargin the Mita. Misargin means Shasiva Erev. You can go both in the length and in the width. In other words, there was some type of ropes that went to the length. Then they like weaved. Then they put ropes in the width that was like that held the mattress. Then you put the mattress on top. So the lenient opinion tells you can be mesadik, which is mamish a proper bottom of the bed. Mematchin, which is not that much work, is only shasi b'lo yed. It's only length. which is Rabbi Yossi, who says you can't be mesadig the mitzvah, that's already work, but only mematich. Obviously, if you were mematich the bed, you were able to sleep on it. Maybe the mattress wasn't perfectly leveled, maybe you'd fall in a little bit, but it was good enough. The Chadoma, the other one, interprets, mesadigin would hold shesiba lo yediv. That even the lenient opinion, which is Rav Meir, who says you can be mesadig, no one holds you can make length and width strings. That's for sure not. That's mamish work. Interesting, just like by Shabbos, not every time work means you're going to schwitz. Consider that full, done job, which we can't do. So mesadigin means to make it, only to put the ropes on the length without the width. Mematchin means she'ima yirafui. If all of the ropes were there already, either all to the width and to the length, or only to the width, or only to the length, but whatever was there, mematik means you can stretch it out and re-affix it. That's even less work. Only that is permitted. Says the Gemara, v'hatani rav tachlifa bar shol, v'shavin, in the Braisa, that both Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda agree, she'ein matlishin chavolim lechatchila, that you're not allowed to make the ropes. He used to make the ropes by taking many little strings together and twist them into ropes. Everyone agrees that on Chol HaMoed you can't make ropes. Now, when you have different steps, the most lenient, a little bit more stringent, even more stringent, we don't jump steps. If the Mishnah holds, Misargin Mematchin means, one opinion holds, Rabbi Yossi, you can only put it in the length. Rav Meir says you can even put it in the length and the width. So now you have to have a statement that tells you, but everyone agrees you can't make the ropes, which would be the next step of work. But if you're going to hold that in the Mishnah, no one even holds you can make length and width. All you can do is either tighten it, and then Amir, who's more lenient, says, even if you can put the ropes in one direction. So what will be the next step that everyone agrees you can do? Then the next step would have been everyone agrees that you can't do it in the width and in the length. There is no need to even say you can't make the rope itself. So this braisa that says, the shavan, that you can't make the ropes themselves, seems to imply that the lenient opinion holds that you can do everything up until making the ropes. That mesagin would mean length and width. Read it inside.
Vishlo, you just say that, hey, you have to make the bed. You have to be able to use it. In order to use it, you have to have rope. Okay, but I don't want you to make the full lattice work. That's a lot of work. So just do lengthwise, and that would be enough.
That's the
meaning. But if you have no rope, make the rope. I'm saying, why did it have to go that order? Make the rope, then
doing both, then doing one. I'll tell you why. Because you have a concept of like a mitzvah, then there's something called the hechsher mitzvah, and this would be like a hechsher is the hechsher. If there's a mitzvah to sleep, then putting the mattress is the mitzvah. That's like the final thing. Preparing the underneath the mattress is like a, it's called preliminary. And making the ropes is called a preliminary of a preliminary. It is a step ahead, even though it's equally needed. But it's just one step more removed from putting the mattress down. If mesargin means length and width, which would be Rav Meir, and Rav Yossi who holds, no, you can only do mematchin, which means shesiba lo yediv, you can only put it on the length. That's why the Braisa would tell you that Rav Tachlifa Bar Shol says, but they both agree, she'ei maflish and chavalo mechatchilo. But if you're going to hold that mesargin itself only means length without width. Mematchin means you can't even do anything. You can only tighten it. Mematchin shevoye rofo yoye mematchoy. So hashto shesi ve'edev amarto loi, if they already both agree that you can't put it on the length and the width, chavalo mechatchilo mi boye. Why was there even a need to let you know you can't make the ropes? Kasha. Kasha is not the yufto. Kasha means that, okay, we still hold with the two interpretations of the Mishnah. Amalei Rav Nachman by Yitzchak and Rav Chiya bar Avin. Could be. Correct.
Do what you need to do?
No, he's saying that even if you would hold that everyone agrees you can't put it length and width, there's still some type of need to say that the shavin you can't make ropes because you might have thought you could make ropes.
I mean, it's similar to a stove
right
in a...
Okay, good.
In a special way. So making a bed, you can make it in a way that it works, but not in a way that is really good, you know, with both directions.
But you have to agree that this making ropes is already only one step removed from putting the bed on, and making ropes is two steps removed.
It's almost, this penalizes the skilled labor, no?
No.
If you're good at what you do, then you can't
No. Here we're speaking about the concept of mice, this is the word, mice, mice or woman is prohibited, that's in the context. Maisa Hedyot is permissible.
Right.
Even Maisa Hedyot, we don't want Maisa Hedyot to be too removed from that which you need. Like when it comes to making food, if this person did not even cut the wheat, then they can cut the wheat on Chol HaMoed, because it's Tzorech HaMoed. So Tzorech HaMoed means I can not only cook the food, I can cut the wheat and crush it and make the flour. You know, when it comes to one of the other of the Hatedim, you go as far back as you need to get the job done. When it comes to other things, you don't go that far back. The only thing you need to do is the thing itself, do the thing itself. Maybe one step back with the Eved, with the Shinoi. And once you have to go two steps back, then you can't do it anymore. Then go sleep on the floor. And put the mattress on the floor. You can't say it's Tzorech HaMoed. It's just, it's not as comfortable as. It's not as dignified as. So, but no, it's a good point. There are certain times, I don't know how you apply the halacha here. Like there are certain things in where for you it's oinig. Let's speak about Shabbos. There's a concept that you're not going to have oinig Shabbos, but for you individually, that activity gives you oinig Shabbos. There's an opinion that holds that you don't have to wash on Shabbos. We don't go that way. If you get oinig Shabbos, like people who are crazy not to eat flour, you'd never eat flour. If you have to eat challah, it's like it makes you feel it's a downer for you.
Gluten.
No, what you're saying, theoretically, these ideas are good. Just let's not apply them because we're not learning Shulchan Aruch. Okay, right. Ask the Gemara, me ika lamanda om mesargen l'shiv le'edev. Is there an opinion that says the word mesargen could mean only length and not width versus what we would think it means? Mesargen would mean properly making the bed frame, which is making it fully... woven. But then we learn that Rav Meir, Raymond Rav Meir says, Hamita, there we're learning about the laws of Tumantara. The Gemara always brings in Tumantara. You can't run away from this. When could something become Tamei? Well, obviously, depends what was in touch with it. But here we're speaking about the source of Tuma is there. But even if the source of Tuma touches an item, that item will only become Tamei if the item is an item. But if the item is called a Keli, if it's a product, if it's a ready-made thing, but if it's a thing in making, then it's not called a keli, not yet a thing, so it cannot become tamei. So the Mishnah goes into details. From when could a bed become tamei? When is a bed considered a bed? So it says over there, Rav Meir says, Mishe Yisroi, see the word Mesargen, Bo Shloisha Batim, from when there are three boxes. You know when you get boxes? Only when you weave. Boxes you would get if you put ropes on the length. There's no boxes. When would you get a box? The moment you put, the moment you go into the length and the width. So now there's one here and there's one perpendicular, the fancy word for me. Oh, hustle three bottom. Understand that? So l'chayda, the word in the Mishnah of Mishi Yisraig means both length and width. How can you say here different? Hello. So that's a refutation. Before Kasha, but you can give a tenet. This Taka knocked it off. When the Mishnah says the words Misargen, Misargen means to weave. Weave means length and width. Elikasiravin, the Saravan now came from Israel. This happened so many times in the Gemara. Rav Dini comes. He happened so many times. And he came with something. Then they says, but you came with candy. So when Ravan came, Ravan Taka said otherwise. So Ravin came and he says, "B'misadigin kol yamalit pligat shiva edus." For sure, when the Mishnah used the word that the Tanakama, which is Rav Meir, says that on Yontif on Chol HaMoed, misadigin means that you can make the frame properly, length and width. What was the argument in the words mematchen? Because Rav Yosi said in the Mishnah, "Ah, misadigin you can't do. You can do mematchen. What is mematchen? Mansa mematchen shiva edus. One thing in hell mematchen means you can't weave it." But you can put it just on the lengthwise. And if you put the ropes close together in the length, it's going to be good enough, so to say, for Yontif. Omar Sovet and other opinion holds that Rabbi Yossi holds the matkin only means to tighten it. Shema, you're rough, or you forgot to weak the matkin. But Rabbi Yossi is machmer. If you didn't put the ropes, you can't put them all together. And go sleep on put the mattress on the ground. Meisvei asked the Gemara, Misagin and Samitin and Zerachleim Shema Matkin, says in a braisa regarding this subject, that Rav Meir holds that you can be mesarig, and for sure you can be mematich. Rabbi Yossi holds you can be mematich avolei mesargin. So far, exactly like our Mishnah. But the Braisa, which normally adds a third opinion. This is in the Braisa.
Can't do a matech altogether. So now the Gemara proves what Rabbi Yossi meant. Now we're going to prove what mematech means. Bishloy melamanda amem mematchin means shesi beloy edev. I know that's why there's a yeshayim that says you can't even do that, which would make sense. But if Rabbi Yossi himself holds mematech means that if it was rafui mematchay, if it was weak, you can strengthen it. Why? If it was loose, you can strengthen it. Why, tighten it. Why would there be a PM that disagrees with that? Like, there would be a Yesh Oimnim, even more Machmer. I mean, you're doing nothing. He says, Yesh Oimnim Ematchi Nami Loi. Well, why not? So the Gemara says, that's not a question. It's not a question because we anything that's for the need of Yontiv, you can do. And the issue here is making your springboard work might not be for the need of Yontif, because you don't need to put a mattress on a bed frame. So maybe you can't even tighten it. Because Kivan, the Efshel Amalia B'Mameh, you can feel, he's saying you don't want to sleep all the way on the ground, put your clothing under the mattress and put your mattress on top of piles of clothing. Why do you need to have a bed frame? One of the presidents of Brazil went to Brazil. This was my father was a child, so either in the 30s or in the early 40s. So he was a tall American. Brazilians are very. She went to the north of Brazil. There wasn't a bed that can fit him. So what did they do? So they took phone books, such a Brazilian thing, phone books, number books, and they piled it at the end of the bed. So his feet, and they put a blanket over it. This is for the president of the United States. And he made as a comment about the Brazilian mentality because of that. Yeah, well, it worked. He made a nice comment, but like they're not professional. But there's an they get it done as in English. They're resourceful, but they're resourceful in a primitive way. Yeah, who says you need a bed? You'll sleep on clothing. Put your straw on top of clothing. So that's why there might be an opinion that says you can't even tighten it if it's loose. Next Mishnah. Now, going to food. And Tzayrich Mayed. So, Ma'amidim Tanur V'Kirayim V'Rechayim B'Mayed. Now, yeah, it's amazing here how you'll start learning Rashi and Tosfos, how there's so many different ways of interpreting it, which will have a big consequence. Let's say Ma'amidim means either you can build it, or you can set it. Setting it means Tanur and Kirayim are two types of movable ovens that have a stovetop, the way our ovens are. So there was an inner place. Then on top, the fire was inside of it. There was an opening on the top, which a lot of heat went there. So a tanur is a larger stovetop. You can put two pots. A kira, we know this from the Masechta Shabbos, or kirayim, plural, is where there's only room for one. But they needed to be fixed in a certain place. They were movable. So can you fix it on Chol HaMoed? It's a work issue. So the Mishnah says, yes. When it comes to making food that you need for Yontif, there was a lot more leeway. So you can be maimed both a tanur and a kirayim. What about a rechayim? A rechayim is millstones. How did millstones work? To crush the grain to make it into flour. There were two stones. So how much can you make the beit mishnayim? Can your mamash make the stones? Or if you had the stones, Rashi says the Mishnah is speaking about to be maimed the rechayim. You had the stones. But you have to put the upper stone on top of the bottom stone. It's work. You have to fix it in the right place. And then there was a way that the top one was able to rotate. The bottom one was fixed. And then there was a hole when inside the rock of the top one. You used to put the grains in it. So the grains used to find themselves in between the two rocks. And when you turned it, there were grooves. One rock was smooth. One rock was groovy. Or sometimes they were both groovy. So the grooves, once the grain got stuck in between protrusions of rock, it crushed it. And then that becomes, that is flour, almost perfect flour of those days. You can imagine how the bread tasted like, right? So you can make that. Rabbi Yehuda says, Ein mechavshin es rechayim batchilo. What does mechavshin mean? You can't be mechavish the rechayim. So what does mechavish mean? So my mechavshin are two opinions. Rabbi Yehuda says, menake rechayim, can't make the grooves. That's already too much work.
Is he disagreeing with Tanakhama, or is he just...
I don't know. Normally it would be a machlokes from the word Rabbi Yehuda. I know. So we know. After all, there's always exceptions. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. The Omer,
So Omer is after the word, then he's normally arguing on a statement before. Not about Amar or Omer, it's with the word. If it's before the name or after the name. Normally, Amar Rabbi Yehuda is like a new thing. And Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, okay. Rabbi Chiel, it says no, Bas Eino. Yeah. I don't know about. I don't know the difference between Omer and Amar. Normally, whenever it says Omer, Rav Meir Omer, it was a statement that he always said. Like some people have things that they keep on repeating. The word Omer is in the present. Omer is in the past. Meir Omer. Rav Meir constantly knows those were statements that they always used to say. Versus they learned about it one time in public that we know about, and he made one statement, and that was that. That's Omar. The Rebbe said, or the Rebbe says, ask Allah, ask a chassid. People don't like the word the Rebbe said. The Rebbe says. Okay. Either making grooves or making a hole. Now says the Mesa. It says in another Braisa Mamid, that you are Ubuvad, however, Shaligim Malachim, don't make it perfect. In other words, don't finalize. Divide Rabbi Eliezer. Chacham say, no, finalize. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishmoy. Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Mishmoy, he's washing Yach in the name of Rabbi Eliezer. See here, Danny, when it says Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishmoy, he's not arguing. It's clarifying. Rabbi Yehuda heard Rabbi Eliezer. We quoted Rabbi Eliezer, it says, Lo Yigmar. On this clarifies Rabbi Yehuda Ma'amid de Mesa Chadosha, that Tana ben Kerayim, you can establish. I'm sorry, Ma'amid, you, when it comes to a millstone, you are allowed to put the top rock on top of the bottom rock, no problem. U'machavshen es ha'yishana, you are even allowed to make machabish in an old one. Now let's speak about groove. If it means groove, it makes sense. So you're not allowed to make grooves for the first time. It's a lot of work. But if millstones already have grooves, but the grooves, after a while, they get, so to say, they get rubbed out. They get dull. So he's saying that you can resharpen them. That's a lot less work than doing it for the first time. So that makes sense if the word machabish means to make the grooves. But if the word machabish means making a hole in the top rock, why would it get used? A hole in a rock stays a hole in a rock. Why would you have to change it? So the Yeshua Eminem and other people, Eim Echavshim Kalik. So the Yeshua Eminem and Eim Echavshim means Menake Dechaya, means to make grooves, Hayim Meshach with Yeshua. So there's a concept that it gets old, it gets dull, you got to redo it. Elam Adon Maseinon. But if it means making a hole, Yeshua Eminem Maseinon. Oh, why would you have to make the hole doesn't close in a rock just because you're putting grains in it? Answers the Gemara keep going to Koboyel La'arvechei Tvei Purta. It's not because it's old. Sometimes the original hole was very small. And people who are working this millstone says, what a waste of time until we get all the kernels in there. Let's make the hole bigger to be able to put more kernels in it. That's not a need that comes because it was used a lot. It's just, it's an awareness of the owners that it's better to have a larger hole. Right. This is very radical Gemara to understand this. It's a lot in shots. Some of these people were very gevuradik. It means they were very severe. Rav Huna heard a person, the Komenake Rechai Bechol Demoit. He heard a person, on Cholomoit. And like until today, when people don't learn Moit Katan, they don't learn Shulchan Aruch, they have an image. Cholomoit is like completely whatever you want you can do. And when you learn this Masechta, you see it's basically the opposite. Really, you can't do any work. But you have the five Hetedim, the five or the six categories that we mentioned.
What about Disneyland?
What about Disneyland? I don't know. Depends for the parents, for the kids. For the kids, it's a pleasure. For the parents, it's a avoid the rabbon.
What does that have to do with the cholamayit?
Yeah, but in cholamayit, you're supposed to have simchas yontif. It takes away simchas yontif.
Oh.
You have to love your kids so much that if they are happy, you're happy. That's the madrega. It shouldn't be.
If you go in your suit and tie, you bring your gemara, then you're allowed to do it.
Okay, vice it.
It becomes a
result. Okay, good. So he saw a guy fixing his grooves. So Amar, look what he said. This Rav Huna. He says, "Man, hi! What is going on over here? Hear the noise!" And he cursed that person. And he says, "It ischil or itachil gufei." It comes from the word chol. Chol means
is mundane. May the body become mundane from the man. Okay. That's great. And why did the Rafuna get so upset? I and our Mishnah, we learned opinions that you are allowed to make the groove because he held Ki Yashremim. It's even harder to understand because if everyone would hold you can't do it and someone hears it being done, mainly you get upset. He knew the Mishnah. They knew the Mishnah is the way we know Asherei. They knew that there are opinions that hold you can do it. So we heard someone doing it.
Okay.
I think that's why I got upset. I think the opposite. If everyone will hold, he can't do it. Someone did it. So you're not worried about people copycatting him because he's violating the law. It's on him. But when you have arguments and you already established that in this area we follow the stringent opinion, and the guys who are doing a leniency say, I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm relying on that other opinion that's more contagious.
What if they just make a statement that I can do it because I'm a Sephardic?
Why is it always an issue with you?
I know. Here we go.
No.
Because you came back.
I've heard that justification.
Because it's right.
I'm Sephardic.
So therefore?
Therefore?
No, I'm Sephardic is a good hetter.
Ah, okay.
That's right. But I'm saying here also, Yeshlaim Yishlaim Yishlaim. You're a radical. Right.
Yeah, but I hear what
they did. Yeah, you better did. Right. The daughter stood up. And
they're not really Sephardic, but...
Dorish Rav Chama says, Noikin Chaima Moyen. Let's go to all the. It's technical, but it's such a technical Gemara. This. You're allowed to make in a Chaim, right? Holes is again to put the grain. L'chatchila. Even though it's chiseling out a rock, you can do that. I understand you could because you need food. I can go to my neighbor. I don't want my neighbor. Bishum Rav Meir, they said, Afilu su shalecha valo chama shalecha valo. You are allowed to cut the toenails of your donkey and your horse. First of all, it's not toenails. It's not toenails. It's hooves, but they grow. And if they're very long, then they don't walk properly. Then they're uncomfortable. And when you're riding a horse, and the horse is not walking comfortably, it's like you're driving a car that has one flat tire. So yeah, it's not comfortable. So you can cut their toenails.
Or generally,
even on chalamayid, you're allowed to cut their hooves. You know what? We're beginning from the premise that you can't work on Chol HaMoed. It's almost like a Shabbos. Chol HaMoed is Asur b'Melacha. But not as bad as Shabbos. And they have the five attainments. Right? Ma'aseh Hedyot, Dovra Oved, Tzedek Rabim, Ein Lo Malachol, and Tzedek Met. You have these attainments.
We're just saying that trimming the hooves is even a step further than carving the.
Yeah, of course, because carving a millstone is for your food. And here, you think you can even do that because you won't have hana when you're driving your donkey. However, Abel turning the page, but in the times of the Gemara, it was normal that the top millstone was moved by a donkey. So what can you trim that donkey's hoof that you cannot do? Why? Says Rashi. First of all, because how much grain can you make into flour on Yontif? Only if you need for Yontif. That's not that much. So if the donkey that's turning it cannot walk properly, big deal. So he's only walking around two or three times. He's not making you bags of flour. Back in the Gemara. Rav Yehuda, Shari, Lemishkal, Turfi, Lechamra, Derechayim. Rav Yehuda disagreed with that. And that's Taka the Halacha. That you can even trim the hooves of your donkey. I was looking for a heter. Since he has to turn a few times, and the donkey will be more comfortable, so let him be more comfortable. Ula oikme rechaya. You are allowed to establish a rechaya. Not only can you establish it, ula nivni. He's very lenient, correct. And he goes from menachomet alakal. Ula nivne rechaya. Saying menachal alachomet. You're allowed to build a millstone. That's mamish work. So here, hechsher de hechsher. It's preliminary for the preliminary. And then ulimivna amas rechayo. They used to put the millstones in some type of frame, Rashi writes. Ha'etra rechayim banu alov. Or they used to have some type of platform for it. You're allowed to build the platform. Ulimivna oiriyo. Rashi says you're allowed to build a corral.
You know, the corrals up, when you gather animals together, what keeps them together? So they build out on the field, they build like a fence. But it's a fence made different than the way you have a fence in front of a house. Because it's different. There's a lot of openings in the bottom. We can, but the animals don't fit in the bottom. You can build a corral, period. Rava or Rav, Shara l'sruke susya. He allowed you combing your horses. That's something that we learned together in Masechta Shabbos. That you cannot comb a horse on Shabbos, because when you comb a horse, you're combing a horse to make the horse look nice, car wash. But you're going to end up pulling out some of his hairs, and pulling out hairs is something prohibited on Shabbos. You can do it on Chol HaMoed, because you can argue that when you ride on your horse on Chol HaMoed, you want your horse to look, comb the beard, you should look malabatish. Ulemivnem akarpito, you're allowed to build some type of, Rashi says, trough where you put the wheat in front of the horses, or it means some type of wooden bench, all different things that they had that services when you want to get on the horse. You step on this, they get on the horse. Or lemidne itztaba, this word is a common word. You're allowed to build, itztaba is some type of stone benches that they used to have out in the public. You're allowed to build them on Chol HaMoed. Rav shara lemishkal dama lebehema b'chol demoed. Rav allowed people letting blood of an animal. Letting blood of an animal is for the health of an animal. And so what? You have to take care of your animal. You have to feed your animal. And you can let the blood of your animal. Amar Abaye tayin the Messiah loch. I'll prove you right. It says in a b'raisa, makizim dam lebehema. You are allowed to let blood of an animal. And the ein meinin the full of ein b'chol demoed. Don't prevent any type of medicinal treatment to an animal, even though it's Chol HaMoed. Even though it gives work. In other words, the heter isn't only for the human being to eat on Chol HaMoed. You should know that there's a halacha, that if you own a pet, you're not allowed to eat before you gave your animal what to eat. Right. Rav.
Require elective surgery.
Chayna, that's what he's saying?
It will be allowed.
Let's look at what it means. In other words, even though he won't die,
yeah.
You can do it after Yantiv, you can do it on Chol HaMoed.
Yeah.
Right. Rava, theoretically, Rava Amma, Rava Shara Likaskuse Kirme. Rava allowed, was a Rashi, press the clothes, Rashi says something, a lot of somehow iron clothing, Maitama, Maitha had you too. Because it's not a profession. Sewing, so true. I can press, take the press and press. Sewing, you can sew, but it's not going to come out properly. So anything that doesn't demand more professional work is more permissible. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak ben Ami of Chizda, Keturei Bidi Asid. It says, Rashi, that for you to sew on the sleeves on the garment, what do we need in the kitchen?
Yes.
We don't need the kitchen. No, I don't know. No, I'm not going to go into the kitchen. I don't know what she brought here. Is it milchik?
Yeah.
Okay, no kitchen. The kitchen is spacious.
No, I'll be there.
I don't know if there's available in the kitchen. Huh?
I'm ready.
Yeah. Okay. So like this. Because Keturah Bidi also means that they used to sew on the sleeves on the garment. That you can't do. On Chol HaMoed. My tama, my seumen. No. When they made garments until today, when you make garments, they had ropes. But then they used to sew on the sleeves. So stitching on the
sleeve after.
Adding the sleeve on the garment on Chol HaMoed is awesome. Omar Rav Aman, the Mitkal Aro. Now we're going to go through a bunch of different types of avoiders, that every work itself can be done for different purposes, and the purpose for what you're doing it will determine if it's permissible or not. So let's go with one example. The miskal aron, that if you want to have a land and you want to take the stones off, why are you taking the stones off? If you're doing it adata the big dorei, if it's because you need a threshing floor, what's a threshing floor, Abba? Before you put the kernels in the millstones, the kernels are grow inside a klipa, and you have to get the klipa off the kernels. So they used to put the grains on the ground. They used to normally have behemoths walk on top of it, and then they used to throw it up in the air. Now that it's crushed, the wind used to blow away the chaff, and the kernels, the yellow ones, used to fall back down. So if you're taking stones off the ground to prepare a threshing floor, that's permissible. But adata da'ara, but if you're trying to better the land, so you should be able to plow it, don't do that on Chol HaMoed. So it's interesting that this is something, the act in itself, is it permissible? It depends for what you're doing it. And Heichidami means there's a concept of Marat Ayin.
Right.
What should I do to make it obvious that the purpose for which I'm doing it for is permissible? So he says, Mulyam b'mulya, or Nitsa b'Nitsa, Adata b'Beidari. To make a threshing floor, you know what you need? You need to have a flat ground. But how much ground do you need for threshing? Not the whole field. So let's say there are certain mounds of earth, and then there are certain indentations in the earth. The person is going to take the earth that's above the ground, that's in the mulya, and he's going to put it into the nitsa, into the hole. If he's doing that, then it means he wants to make his whole field leveled, and that you're not allowed to do. Why are you leveling your whole field? Because you want to plant it. Don't do any of this Chol HaMoed. But if you have a mound, and all you're doing is you're making the mound level. So instead of having a mound that's 5 inches high, you're taking half of the mound off, and you're putting it on the side of the mound. So you're making a little piece of land which has the same height. But it's still not good to plow the field. Or if you have a ditch. So when you have a ditch, you make the ditch bigger. For sure you're not planning to plant a field. If you would want to plant a field, you would fill the ditch up. With any type of working, of leveling the ground that's done only in little patches, is permissible. And it's obvious that you're only doing it to make a threshing floor. That's permissible.
What's the title of the
Vedari? Vedari means, what's the word above Metzia in the beginning? The Mishnah speaks about the Arise and Arhefker. Al-Khashtasta the Vedari, what's the word over there? Vedari means a threshing floor. Threshing floor. Threshing floor. If you're doing it to make a floor, if you're preparing the field, that area that it should be level, then you're allowed to do it. Because you're allowed to do the hechsher of oichol for yontif. But if you're doing it for planting, then you can't do it.
Why is it relevant what other Jews see you doing? Doesn't everybody know?
Sometimes it's relevant. Not always. Let's leave it at that. It's a complicated issue. But when do we say it? When we don't say it? I die to the Beit Dari, right? Shashokal, Mulya, Vishadah, Benitza.
Omer's asking, hey, if he's making a threshing floor, let him make a threshing floor.
He's asking the whole idea of Marasayim. He's challenging the whole Marasayim, correct?
No, but in this case, isn't it art? It seems like the Gemara is making that difference. Meaning,
Hechidami means.
That's not what he's trying to do, it's about what it looks like he's doing.
He's advising him to do it in a way where it's obvious what he's doing it for.
It comes back to the
source.
Doing it for the moist. Doing it for threshing and not preparing the land.
It also comes back to this other Rabbi Hona.
Yeah.
I feel like that wasn't really relevant to this story. You're just saying that there's other people that, right?
He ruled like one opinion and he enforced it. Here, everyone agrees that you're allowed to do it for a threshing floor.
Why is it relevant that he ruled by one opinion and enforced it? Is this the opinion?
That's the end. That's the way the Talmud says. When the Talmud brings down different opinions, one of the ways the Talmud says the halach is like A, not like B, is by telling you a story. Yeah, doesn't mean that's really the halacha, but that's the way the Talmud is saying here, that's the halacha.
Within that discussion, that's the way.
Very good. So, but, right. But if he takes the mulya and he puts it in the tzah, but if he's going to the whole field, whenever there's something high, he puts it into a ditch, then I bite to the arah, and it's not allowed to do it. Amar Rav Rava says another idea. Hayman d'zachi zichi. If a person is gathering wood, can you gather wood on Chol HaMoed? A bite to the tzivei, if you need firewood, then yeah. But adata da ara. But if you want to clear the field so you can plow it right after yantiv, shasir. How would I know? Heichidami shakel rab revi v'shafik zutre. If you're only gathering the large pieces of wood and you're leaving the little branches, why does that prove you want wood for fireplace? Logs are better than little branches. But you're leaving the field anyway dirty. You're leaving stuff on the field. But if adata da tzivi, but shakel rab revi v'zutre. But if you're gathering both big and small pieces. What does that prove? Right, I don't know. Oh, but Rav says, I'm on the potach.
The interesting thing here is that the determining thing is a kavana.
Kavana. That's the only things now will be an act
that the act in itself, is it permissible or prohibited? It depends for what you're doing it. And the Gemara is advising you to do it in a way that it, there's no amount of sign. If you're allowing water to enter your field, it means there are certain canals, that's what we learned together, can you open up a door that will allow the water to go into your field? Depends for what. Avaita de kavore, it's because there might be fish in the water, and if you allow that water to run into your field, once the water gets absorbed, the water runs out, the fish stay in your field. If you're trapping fish to have fish for yontiv, then shoddy. But if you're only doing it to water the field, that was the first Mishnah made katan, can you water your field? Well, it's not so simple. There are times the Mishnah says that if it's davar ha'aved and there is no tirchi yaseira, then you could, but in principle you cannot if it's just to water your field. About the other asad heichidami patach trei bave. If you have two doors, you have an entrance of the water and you have an exit of the water, and you open both doors, which means the water is going to go in and the water is going to go out. People who wanted the water to water the field, they never opened the back door. They didn't want any of the water to go out. So if you open both doors, one on the high ground, one on the low ground, so the water is running through and the water is running out. So why did you do that? More for the fish. You understand? Adaita de kavode, but patach kadbava. If you only open up one door, so all the water gets stuck in the field, then you probably you're watering your land. Adata da aran is prohibited. Vomit of another says, Haiman de pashach dikla. If you are taking the bark off a palm tree, why would you take the bark off? There's two reasons. If you adaita de chiviyasa, if you're doing it to feed your animals, they used to eat the bark. You want to feed your animals on yontif. Then it's shoddy. But if you're doing it to make the tree better, somehow making it better, what's to skin it? Adaita de dikla aser. How would you know what you're doing it for? How can you do it in a way where there is no marasayin? Shakol kuli mechad gisa. If you're taking the bark only off one side, you're not doing it to make the tree better. You're doing it because you need the bark. But if but if you're taking it off equally on both sides, then you don't get the strength in the tree. Adai to the dikla vaser. V'omer Rav Hanan says, Hani, tamron. Hani.
What if you have so many animals that you need all the bark?
That's okay. So, yeah, I have the exception. Go in a way, leave a little patch. Hani, tamri, tucholni. There was the old stipler of the one who wrote Kilas Yaakov, that he was the only one that sold his svarim in yeshiva. Was like a had the sefer, so when they printed it in a different sizes. So he only sold it, and if you wanted to buy the whole set, he never gave you a set that looked nice, one big one, one small one, because if you're buying it to learn, what would you care? If you're buying it to make your bookshelf look nice, and he made sure that it's not to make your bookshelf look nice. A patch here, but one big one, one small one, that one. Stick. Okay, right. If you had dates.
Wasn't into buying
smaller Torah. He was, but more to learn. Buy small Torah to learn. Hani tamli tucholni, if there was some type of unripe date, and you used to either make it ripe, or you used to preserve it. The way you made it ripe is by cutting it in half, and then it got ready, and then you were able to eat it immediately afterwards on yantif, cholamoyt for yantif. And the way you would preserve it is by putting things heavy on it that would make all of the juices ooze out. And once something is dried, then you can preserve it much longer. So, migzirinu shari. If you're cutting it in half, evidently to eat it, then you can do it. But might see no, but if you're squeezing it, why are you squeezing it? Preserve it for after yantiv, not tzedek hamoed, asif. Rav Papa says, no, that if you want to preserve it, if you're not going to preserve it, what's going to happen? It's going to get ruined. Even the mitloy kiperak matio ha'avidami. It's like lost business. And now, interesting thing, which is in the Mishnah, we learned that even by ha'aved, if it's not tzedech, if there's tircha yaseira, you're not allowed to do it. Here, the Gemara is saying that business is not working the land. Business in itself doesn't demand that much physical labor. You're buying and selling. You're not schlepping. That is something. Even if there's tircha yaseira, you're allowed to do it. That's what it comes up with. Come on. So you're allowed to squeeze out the juices for it, like business. Omer Rav Prakimati Koshu Asad. Rav says that any type of business is Asad. Omer Rav Yisim Ban Avin, Omer Rav Avin Mutter. But if you're going to lose the business, you can work on Chol HaMoed. That's the hetter for almost old people who go to work. They say, go to work, Omer Rav, or I don't know what to eat. Ravina Havali Awisko, Ravina out of business. to have a mizdavin b'shita alfei that he could have sold whatever he had on Cholomoyed for 6,000. And alpi din, he was allowed to sell it because he just says adavar ha'aved is more than. You know what God did to him? Beyond the letter of the law. And he sold this for 12,000. That Vina had business dealings on the banks of the Shanvasa River. They owed him money. And on those days, he needed to go to the. And what happened to people? So he figured, what's the best time to go? Are people for sure home?